but like I told you, it's a 10 sessions and they're 20 minutes apiece, and each time they're going to show two of them. So it will last an hour. All kinds of subjects are going to be covered. Tools for an unshakable marriage. So regardless of how young or how old your marriage is, I know there's going to be something said that will be very, very enjoyable. So please sign up. And if you're planning to bring children, put in parentheses how many children, because they're planning to provide daycare. Well, child care. Yes, sir. Did all of you hear that? Come so that you can learn stuff that you can share with younger couples. Today, Mandy Elms was getting ready to do an article for Reflection Magazine, and she asked for people to please give advice to newlyweds. And after I looked through them and about 25 people had responded, I texted her and I said, Mandy, that is really good stuff. You need to print that out and put it in a little book. So I noticed you commented, Sister Dot, on it. So it's really, really neat comments that people had shared about marriage. Okay, on the 10th, Oasis, that's all of you people that are 60 and over. You're going to meet at Catfish King at 5 o'clock for a meal. So that sign-up sheet is out there. On the 11th, they're going to have a bake sale. This is to raise funds for the Children's Crusade that will be starting in a couple of weeks from then. You can contact Sister Christy English if you have questions about that. The 12th through the 16th, a lot of our kids will be going to youth camp. The youth camp is going to be over in the Wichita Falls area. And then on the 18th through the 21st, the 18th, I think, is Father's Day. And then on Father's Day night, the 18th, our kids' crusade is going to start. Brother David Becton is going to do it. A lot of you will remember that he was here at Christmas time at our banquet. He was incredible. Remember, he did a lot of magic. Well, actually, his ministry for many, 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 many years has been children's ministry. That has been his ministry. So I know that our kids are going to be blessed by that crusade, and all of you are welcome to come as well. I know that you will enjoy it. I think that's all of our announcements from right now. So if you will turn in your hymnal to page 2. I'm teasing. I know y'all don't have hymnals out there. I'm just depending. Hopefully you just know these by heart. Most of you know a lot of those songs in the hymnal, so you're going to know it by heart. This first one's in L. Okay, oh, I want to see him as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me live my voice, for cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, and there to sing for to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. He's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. And oh, I want to see Him,
look upon His face,
and there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory let me lift my voice, for cares so past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below, for He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so, and oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, and there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory let me lift my voice, for cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh yes, we thank You, Lord. Oh, blessed be Your name, blessed be Your name. Thank you all. You sounded really good. I can hear you.
And that you are praying for the people that are in this assembly. There are so many people that they just, when they are weak, they are weak. And it's hard sometimes to look through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. So I really appreciate the consistent upgrade of spiritual virtues and prayer in our assembly. And I ask you to continue to pray for those that have been on our list. And if you have a special need in your life tonight, please feel free to come to the front. We have many men and ministers in this place that will pray a prayer of faith. And if you have a need as we stand together, I would like for you to feel free to come right now. No matter what that need is, and no matter what is going on, there are people that really need a special strength. And if you just need wisdom on an issue, you just need a strength of the brotherhood, please feel free. This operation of the body of Christ is going to grow in this world. And I encourage you to, if you have a friend close to you, pray among yourselves, where the Bible says, where two or three agree as to touch in any one thing in my name, with faith believe, and it shall be done.
How I grew Him more and more.
Said this before, but trust is an unquestioning belief, an unquestioning belief in someone's ability, strength, or integrity. So we trust regardless. Right now, our ushers are going to come to take up our evening offering. Thank you all so much that contribute to this church. We have so many beautiful facilities and so many wonderful things because of your sacrificial giving. Okay, let's see which one of you men want to pray. Brother Garen, I guess, since you're standing there in the center. Our church is so blessed to have so many strong, dedicated, righteous, faithful men. Men, we appreciate y'all so much. Okay, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name, I'm singing glory to his name. Yeah. that name? Jesus, that name is what? Oh, yes, say it again. Oh, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus.
I had a very rich and wonderful experience today. I was having some trouble and difficulties, and then I found a possible solution, and so I headed to the destiny of that solution, and I found more than I dreamed I would find, and the bottom line that was so thrilling of all the eventualities was that I'm almost positive the multimillionaire, and he said, you know how I got started? He said, my brother and I got started the same way. I said, I have no idea. He said, my dad was a garbage collector in Dallas, and he made it his business get around the city and look what was on the street corner. And particularly in areas where that he knew people would be getting rid of stuff. And so he said, you know, he'd just take a trailer around and get stuff out of the garbage that he knew was worth something. And he said he would send it to us down here close to DeKalb. And, man, he had acres of things. I mean, huge. He said, that's how we became wealthy, is just getting everybody's trash. And I couldn't help but, I didn't tell him this, but I couldn't help but think what the scripture said. And such were some of you. But God came. And he took the trash out of our life, and he put the weaker things and made them strong. That book is so phenomenal. And so I told my wife, I said, I had no idea that I was going to experience what I experienced in the midst of some trouble for myself. But I came out with a lot of thrilling and victorious. So tonight, I thrill at the joy of being able to share things that can brighten the brightest, that can enlighten the wisest. None of us have become complete with Jesus Christ yet. We are going to try to experience, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And if we are in Christ Jesus, neither make any negative differences. Because if we live, we live unto Christ. If we die, we die unto Christ, the resurrection and the life. And so there is no demerits in being a sold-out Christian. The demerit is when people say they're a Christian and they try to live a partial life of Christ, and they come up very shy of what they thought should be happening, because they thought if they allied with him by vocal statements, they would find themselves complete in him in spiritual phenomenon. But it just don't happen. So tonight, I want us to move as quickly as possible, and yet with not such rapidity that we don't get it. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And what we do know, God cares, and he wants to live, not next door. He wants to live in you. The book says it this way, Christ in you. The hope of glory. We understand what glory is. It's victory. Glory is overcoming. Glory is sharing the superlatives of life. Glory is always having a better thought than the weaker thoughts of flesh. And so tonight, we want to move as hurriedly as we can and realize God is still calling. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden and burdened down with care. I will give you rest. That doesn't mean he will reduce the problem. He will just add spiritual virtues and wisdom that reduce the problem. And that makes Christianity worth getting into. A more glorious power breathed into us and we became. We will get deeper in that here in a few minutes. But a living soul, superior to all other creation, is who you are. There is no other vegetation, animal, or anything else that rivals the human world. You have the ability to not only perceive danger, but to conceive a future that God has designed to fit your life. No lion, no tiger, no mountain, no cavern, no rushing stream, none of them have conception, but you do. That makes studying the Word, living the Word, that makes the spiritual virtues, the nine spiritual gifts, the spiritual elevations, a conception process. And so today, we are looking into both mirrors to see the future. I look into the mirror of my own house, and sometimes I smile at myself in the mirror. And sometimes I laugh. And sometimes I wish I wouldn't have looked. But looking in the mirror can help you. But looking into the Word, the mirror of your soul, now that gets cataclysmic. That can do for you the same things I just enumerated when I look into a physical mirror. Sometimes when I look into the Word, I want to get rid of it. I want to shut the book. Sometimes when I look in the Word, I'm embarrassed that I didn't see sooner what I needed to have seen to help my city, to help my family, to help myself. Sometimes I don't like looking in the mirror because I see that I missed an opportunity a few weeks ago. I see that I had an opportunity and didn't do well with it because I didn't have the wisdom to help the people. I just offered what they get down the street. Any carnal mind could tell them that. So it is a big deal to look into the mirror, the Word, and the worth of life. Regardless, we must know this world will go away. The graveyard tells you that every time you pass by. You're not here forever, but you are an eternal being. So the fact that you're not on earth forever doesn't really make a big deal of difference because this is only a dressing room where you dress your mind. You dress your spirit. The Bible uses the term clothed with his righteousness. It don't just wrap itself around you. The Bible uses this statement. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Every one of us have heard a call to a better social system. Every one of us have dreamed and wished for a better social life. Every one of us have wished and dreamed for a personal life that never could put me down and make me feel like a vagrant in a world where the riches of God are so exposed. There is a phenomenal exposure of great riches that are easy to receive by faith, by action, by process, by growth. Those things you cannot buy, not even at the largest stores available. Ladies and gentlemen, you can only buy it at Calvary. And that's when you put your life on the line. And you crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And in that moment, the resurrected Messiah, the author of the book, the one that's going to judge us by the book, he comes to you in that moment. And he uses the term, come unto me, and I will make you over again. Born again is not just talking in tongues. Born again is not just saying, I accept Christ as my Savior. Born again is to turn away from the past and to immediately turn to the author and the finisher of our faith. And that is the master. That is the winner. That is the redeemer. That is the glorified body of the Almighty God. We're not talking about just another man. We're talking about Jesus that was born of a virgin. And the whole world confesses it, but won't confess their need. Could we pray for our city and our world again right now, passionately? The Bible said, cry aloud unto me. Oh God, while we sit in this building, hurting mothers, hurting children, hurting people, are starving for what the oasis of your resurrection has declared. Oh God, help us not to be suffocating with the knowledge and the wonderful ability to donate life in the superlative to our neighbor. Oh, come on, let's cry out to God. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. Somebody cry out like you would if a lion were about to attack you. Cry out as if you were about to be taken out of this world. And let's do it for our neighbor right now, not so much for ourselves right this minute, but God, for every preacher in this community and surrounding areas, for every mother and every dad, for every child, for every dope addict. Oh God, for those that are penetrated by the powers of darkness, I cry out that there be a ray of light, hope, joy, peace, a river, thoughts, powers, glories. Oh, hallelujah. God has heard your prayer. Let's move on. We must know without a question that this world will go away. Greatest opportunity you have each morning, with a backdrop of a dark night, light stays close. The Bible said he is an ever-present help in the time of need. So you're never far from that light, but you'll never have a day that it's not shattered by the darkness, the weird thoughts, the horrifying thoughts that crowd our mind. This is going to be a bad day for you. Those thoughts do come. You're going to fail. Those thoughts do come. Those weaker thoughts, they reach for us, and too often we try to wish them away instead of praying them under our feet. Turn the light on. It's one of the greatest opportunities you have. In the middle of the night, when you hear weird voices, what do? Turn the light on. When you smell funny things outside the door, or you hear sounds outside, you turn lights on. That's what we've got to learn to teach our children and our neighbors. Turn the light on. Motel 6 don't own that. No, God owns light. His word is the light. And if you want to get free from the darkness surrounding us, and our children are living in that darkness, turn the light on. Don't use carnal stuff. Use victory stuff. The word has won on every front. It's never lost a battle. It's never lost its courage. It's never lost its strength. The word lives. And the word acted upon turns the light on, and deception can't occur when the light comes on. But when you mix dark and light, you get mixture of carnality and spirituality. And the only way to come out of a grave is to go into it in light. The light went into the grave and said, "Goodbye, death. I'm fixing to show the world there's a victory that the world can't compete with." So love not the world, neither the things in the world. For if any man love the world, you shadow the light. And there is not complete freedom where there is not complete light. Because the shadows can look like monsters. And the shadows of carnality can look like defeat. Shadows of sickness can look like a death that will tear our peace and joy and righteousness apart. No. The greatest thing you can do every morning, turn light on. Quote scripture. Look into the book. The book of Psalms is filled with a man that understood the only way to be a good shepherd, a good dad, a good mother. Turn the light on. He wasn't perfect, but he knew where perfection could work in a dark world. So to activate your day, you turn the light on. Most all of us do it the first thing when we get up, so we don't stumble down the hall and break our neck on the way to the coffee shop. Coffee bar, whatever. Turn the light on is a relatively human, normal thing. So glorify God with your action to others and be aware of your opportunities to excel. Now, everybody don't appreciate light. There are those that walk in darkness and love living in prostitution and adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and cursing and damning and all of the other. I mean, that's so natural to flesh. Live in the dark. You're born in the dark. Why not? Even as long as you got money, that's enough light to have a little fun. As long as you got a little bit of stuff to call possessions, that's enough to make others look at you and think you're in the light. No. Righteousness, peace, and joy are the illuminations of Almighty God. That's kingdom life. That's where your full orb of life light lives. That is where that without a doubt there is going to be a kingdom that's going to take over this world of darkness, and fear is dark.
I said, fear is dark. It doesn't give you the perfect orb of what all's going to happen. I'm telling you, death cannot hold a Christian in its dark grave. No, Christ came out because he's light. And he said, come unto me and I will give you the light, and you won't have to fear death, because you will know without a question, I am the Lord God, and me alone is the only one that can get you out of the dark.
I refuse to live in the dark when flipping a switch of prayer can activate the Word of God and put light in my proximity. Forgiveness is one of the greatest lights in the world. But just saying the word doesn't do it. If you don't forgive your neighbor, you're not forgiven. You haven't turned the light on because you say, I'm forgiven. You only turn the light on when you activate forgiveness. So he said, forgive your neighbor before they ever ask. Why? Because you're going to walk in the light. Once you have forgiven others, you're forgiven. And when you are forgiven, you're free. And that means no darkness is going to confiscate your future. It's not about how many times you go to a building. It's how much you learn while you're in the presence of the Almighty. Changing to overcome. And we do not stunt or stop growth or light. Growth has to do with light. Grow in grace. Grace is light. Grace teaches us that you can walk out of darkness by faith and walk into light by faith and live in light by faith and enlighten others by faith and show your children by faith and to show your people that you're working with by faith. I'm telling you, by faith is grace given its freedom. Grace is a teacher, and it's unmerited favor. That's what a lot of people take a little bit of its information, and it is unmerited favor, but that is not the depth of grace. The depth of grace is that it is unmerited favor that God, Brother Jim Lester, would come to you and say, come to me. And I will make you fishers of men. See if there's anybody you can get to come up here.
I'll get one or two. Jeremy, come on up here.
This is how we're going to do it. We're going to get them out of their dismal life. And we know that the people that are being called up here right now are not in dismality. Do you have anybody else you'd like for us to elevate? You see, they're getting elevated. They didn't even think about being elevated. But now the whole people on the online are looking at these guys and thinking, how'd they get to do that? I'm telling you right now, I am about to have a Holy Ghost fit. I'm not playing games right now. I'm telling you, this is the way the battle is won. We go to, we call others into our vicinity. They feel the presence of somebody that has purity, holiness, godliness, a love of people, a love for the things of the Word. And all of a sudden, there is an aura that starts taking over, and fear is being reduced, because when you get in the presence of true freedom, you cannot just say, I'm scared. How many of you have ever had your mother or dad hold you in the middle of a stormy night, and all of a sudden in the presence of somebody that was superior, you felt all right? We all do.
And so when we get in the presence of men and women that are walking in Christ, and they are walking in Christ, and they're not worried, and they're not filled with fear, and they're not filled with damnation from their history, and they're not filled with worries of whether or not they're going to go to heaven. No. I'm telling you, these guys are courageous. They look at storms and say, our God is able. And they look at weakness and say, our God is able. And they feel funny about life, and our God is able. And that's what's going to testify to this city as we go out. Now, I want y'all to go hug somebody and make sure it's men. We don't want any weird things going on out of this church. I'm telling you, God's calling us into dimensions of power and victory. And so changing to overcome, we will not stunt or stop our personal growth, because our growth is going to cause the whole city to look at your growth, and they're going to sense and see the purity and the power of holiness, the glory of disciplined living for women and men, and living a life that is conservative but effervescent, because the glory comes from the spirit world. And I'm telling you, you can dress apostolic and you can do all the apostolic and all of that stuff, but I'm telling you, where it counts is on the street. Anybody can look good sitting in a church building doing a little tithing. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just telling you, that don't get it done. Turning the word on, turning the spirit on, turn the light on. And I promise you that those who sit in darkness saw a great light, because Jesus was the light of the world. They'd never seen. They said, never have we seen a man like this man. And that's what his bride is going to be like. It is a church people that congregate to the word. They congregate to the holiness of God. They congregate not forced to do it so they can be a member of a local assembly. No. The Bible said, through desire a man separateth himself. I want to be like Jesus. You just can't be both. You can't act like the world, love the world, and do all of that and say, God's my God. No. That don't work. You got to depart from evil. You got to depart from dark. You got to walk in the light. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is calling. Come unto me. I am the light of the world. I am the glory of the world. I am the victor of the world. I am the challenger of hell. I am the one that challenges hell. I am a threat to hell every day. I am a threat to darkness every day. I am a threat to weakness every day. I am glory. I am power. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And no man comes to the source but by me. I wish somebody stand up and praise his name like he deserves it. You're not praising me. You're praising him. I'm telling you, that next breath, it ought to be a touch of heaven. It ought to be a touch of victory. I am walking with Jesus. I am going to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Smile at somebody and then let's be seated and get on with the rest of this. Changing to overcome. You can't be yesterday's man and be tomorrow's future with Jesus. Let's look at the Word of God. Romans, anytime you get past the book of Acts, you're into the church age. So you need to understand that once you leave the book of Acts and you move over into Romans, you're talking to people that's already talked in tongues, already been baptized in Jesus' name, already been filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a give. The church, the people that are truly the body of Christ, have been born again of the water and the Spirit. And we'll get back there in a minute. Romans 14, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. And so, say it, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived,
that he might be Lord both of what? The dead and the living. That's big stuff. I mean, we need to romance that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about cater at it and look at it and say, that's cute, or I don't think that's pure, and I don't think that's beautiful, and I don't think... No. I'm talking about romancing the Word, loving and learning how to absorb it into our world. That's how romances go. Have y'all forgotten that? It'd be a good time to look at each other. Romances... they're effective. And so, why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is simply putting us right beside him. That's where the judgment seat of Christ. The white throne judgment is a little different. But the judgment seat of Christ is when we sit with him and his breath don't have the stench of not one of the works of the flesh. Envy, strife. You know what I'm talking about? No. The judgment seat of Christ is where all of our works are judged. You're not saved by works, but you're judged by works. And that's the judgment seat of Christ. So it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to the Spirit of Christ. Christ couldn't be here if it wasn't for God. So then every one of us shall give an account to God. It is the Lord that hath called us and encouraged us to turn the light on every morning. Don't start quoting flesh when you get out of bed. I guess it's going to be another bad day. He made them so to keep this earth rolling around and doing its thing. And I'm going to curse it or damn it or criticize it. Turn the light on. First thing in the morning. That's what we do. We don't stumble in there and try to feel our way through the coffee shop. Well, I don't feel no coffee. I don't feel any egg burning on the stove. No, we turn lights on. We don't decide friendship over whether it's been 5 weeks or 5 months. Somebody called. How many times did you call them? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is part of the concept of the judgment seat of Christ. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Leaders are people that have light on. They know where to go. They know what to say. They know how to act. Because when you walk in the light and you are in the light, you have peace and joy and righteousness. Don't you get down on yourself because you're finding out this information. Wake up to yourself. The Bible says, awaken to righteousness. That's not hard to do. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man be a stumbling block or an occasion to fail or fall to his brother. Would you come back? You know what I'd like for you to do? See, people think because you're not 6'5" that you're not very strong. Look at them, not me. I know what I'm doing. Coach, would you get him on your basketball team? Well, you know, he's got the basketball team out at the college. I want y'all to be praying for him. We want him to have a winning year. He likes coming to this house. He and I are close friends. You wouldn't believe how I became his friend, was working on his house probably 30 years ago, Coach? 32? Something like that. You know, I didn't golf, I didn't fish, but boy, I did like to fix stuff up. You know, you can find some big problems in life. Oh, you getting Brother Jeff? You know, big problems represent big victories. See, I asked him to get Brother Jeff because I know what happened. The devil thought he had this guy roped in forever. He thought he had you, buddy. But God, who is rich in mercy, who don't show up big, but he is strong. And you see the relationship between these two men? God don't have to look big to be big. And he brought my brother up here because I'm telling you that Satan thought he had this guy whipped. And this guy, God reached out in mercy. And oh my God, I'm about to shout. I am telling you, he went to prison first himself. Now he's in prison pulling people out of hell. He is now, you pray for this man. You pray for his family. I'm telling you, hell hates what's happening with this Holy Ghost revival that is breaking loose. I am telling you, we're going to turn the light on every morning and we're going to keep it on all day long. And we're going to go to bed at night. And we are going to go to sleep in the light, knowing that he is my shepherd. And he is the shepherd of the sheep. And I am one of his sheep. And I know he's going to protect me. Oh, why don't we stand and give God some praise right now? Thank y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to stretch forth your hand toward Brother Jeff right now. He is going back in there to do everything he can, and he needs some help. And I encourage you, let's help him by being constant in confidence. Father, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you against the day of judgment. I am praying for Holy Ghost revival in our prisons. And I am praying for a special anointing on this church so that our people who go into dark areas have the strength and confidence, the superlatives of life. I am believing you, Almighty God, that you are going to resurrect a revival in this community. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. He loves to hear you clap your hand. God created you. And have you ever created anything? None of us ever created anything that we wanted to fail. I mean, even if it was a cookie, you didn't want it to be burnt, and you didn't want it to be too fattening. You didn't want it to damage people too bad. Do you think God would be any less than you? None of us do anything. We don't build a house with the worry that it's going to fall apart. We don't build relationships that we worry are going to fall apart, because we build them right. God built you right. You are made in the image of success. You're actually going to have to push success away from your door, because I promise you that God, who is the best success story of anybody, nobody has resurrected out of the grave like he did. He told them, I'm going there, but 3 days, come look. He is the one that created you, and he cannot lie. He said, I will be a God unto you. I will be a light unto you. I will be a wisdom unto you. I will be a strength unto you. I will be a joy unto you. I will be a glory unto you. It's impossible for him to lie. And I refuse for us to forfeit the possibles of becoming every promise in that. We may not achieve it in our 30, 40 years here, 50 years, 70 years. We may not achieve it all. But if that's the way you're moving, don't forget the snail finally got on the ark. Have you seen? There's one around your house still. He got on the ark because every living thing was buried under the water. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a huge event. You and God, the biggest event that will ever occur. You and God having relationship. I don't want to turn away from him and say, well, you know, I saw your world. I saw some of your cool actions. I saw your sky. I saw your sun. I saw your moon. I saw your stars. I just think I can do better than that on my own. If you think he's God, it ought not to be a chore to serve him. It ought not to be an embarrassment when people say, oh, so you got to have a God. Hello? Am I doing any good yet? Ladies and gentlemen, it's too late for us to play games with this unthinkably phenomenal God and just go to some house and wish we had heard what we wanted to hear instead of what we needed to hear. I don't just need to hear what I want to hear. I can say it to myself. You're going to be a great guy. You are a great guy. You're a wonderful guy. I wish everybody else knew it. I could say all that to myself, but it didn't make it happen. But if he makes you great, everybody looked at you and you're a living light and you're a living source of energy and glory and overcoming and forgiving and merciful and all of that stuff that comes out of the river of life. I mean, when that stuff starts bleeding out, I mean, nobody can say God's not in their life. But when they sense that they go read the book, and they see bleeding out of your voice and bleeding out of your spirit and bleeding out of your thought patterns, they must be Jesus. Because only Jesus can forgive before you're asked. And that's what he asked us to do. Forgive before you're asked. I am watching so many people stack up so much stuff. Well, oh, so-and-so. I tell you what, I thought sure they loved me. And you can't believe it. And they wonder why people are looking at them weird. Well, you can tell it when people are got a problem. Do I look like I might have a problem? Walking around with two Kleenex boxes, one on my shoulder, one on my head. I mean, can you imagine me going to Walmart like this after a while with my wife? All my troubles, all my trials, showing in my voice, showing in my disposition. No. Coach, what would you think if I came to ask you, can I be on your team? Coach, coach didn't know he's going to get to help me tonight. Oh, man. What's wrong with you? Oh, so-and-so, I tell you, I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it. They act like they didn't even like me. I think I'm just going to cuss. These Kleenex boxes don't tell you everything. You couldn't possibly know what hell I'm going through just because you see these Kleenex boxes. You look like I got a problem yet? I want everybody to know I got problems. Have you figured it out? I got problems. Only Jesus can get inside where you really are motivated by and find out what the real problems are. Doubts, fears, carnal thoughts, weird ideals about life. Light's coming. Do you see the shadows of that darkness while ago are getting a little more light? He said, in the evening time there shall be light. Not complete light yet. A lot of religion going on, and there's a lot of scriptures being stated, and there's a little bit of light surrounding the area. It's not quite light yet. But it's going to get light. God created Adam and Eve in perfection, and they were tempted, and they failed. And the Lord God wants to redeem and to be in covenant with you. He wants you, Sister Pastor's wife, to kiss your husband every now and then. Got one tonight. Oh, man, I believe I can preach the rest of this thing now. God wants you to love one another. It's not about feelings. It's about righteousness. I said, it's not about feelings. It's about righteousness. But righteousness creates feelings. Good feelings. Positive feelings. Victorious feelings. The God of heaven wants to redeem and be in covenant with you. There's not a God that offers that kind of life. I'm telling you, the God of alcohol, the God of drugs, the God of lying, the God of adultery, the God of all the other junk going on is not a God that's going to set you free. He is going to drive you deeper into prison. And it won't even take a lion to chew you up. And the lion couldn't chew God up. And the Hebrew children confessed God. And the fire couldn't burn them up. I'm telling you, hell can't take you under. That's why that story's in the book. He wanted to show you a picture of men and women in hell. And when God's in the middle of hell, I'm telling you, you're coming out without the smell of smoke. You're going to be able to rise up in the name of Jesus and in the power of the word and in the power and the glory of a righteous lifestyle. And I'm telling you, no fear is going to trip you and make you fall and lay you out in the middle of the street and make the people wonder if apostolic lifestyle is worth it. I'm here to tell you it's worth everything, but it can't be faked. It's got to be from the inside out. It's got to be with a light on. Light up in the morning. Light up your head. Light up your heart. Light up your hands. Light up your feet and walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, as we are in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from every sin or contamination. That's straight out of the book. Though there be gods many, there's only one Lord. And the Lord God became Christ. He became a person to demonstrate what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Christ in you. We know there's not a physical entity. God was in, this is straight out of the book, your book, God's book. God was in Christ
Watch the personal pronoun here. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's not plural. Himself is a personal pronoun. It's not a casual statement. It's not a religious statement. It's a future Christ in you, the resurrection and the life. That's what it means to crucify the flesh and open your life to receive the Holy Ghost. That ghost, that spirit of the redeeming power of Almighty God. What a deal. And I want to rush on to this. No demon or devil will ever master the Lord and his desire for us. No matter how much damage that the church lets the devil do to it, the church is considered to be the bride of Christ. That will never change. But God will never force his bride to be. He will just call, "Come unto me." The bride comes into the light of love and protection. And the bride loves to play the organ and sing at the end of a service. Is she awesome or what? I promise you, to put up with me, she's awesome. Y'all have been that awesome also to put up with me. My heart's bursting. I see for our city a bride, the church. This was already ready way before the day it was presented. He's still the Alpha and the Omega. He had a plan from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. But because we like everything done now. But now faith is the critical issue. I said now faith. That's why it's in the book. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith. Somebody say now faith. Yesterday's faith is not going to be enough. Tomorrow's faith is not going to be enough. Now faith. That's the critical issue. I don't care where you are, where you've been, and what a hell you've raised up in your life. Now faith will take and turn your back on yesterday and your history. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Somebody say substance of things hoped for. One day it was a hope. I hope I can get over this. I hope I can get past this. I hope I can get into his whole world. I hope I can. Hope, the Bible said, maketh not ashamed. Hope is what he said. We are saved by hope. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, I hope I can make it over the next mountain. So I'm going to practice in faith, putting my foot where I think my future lives. So I am going to start talking about where I want to be. I'm not going to act like I'm there. I am going to faith it. I'm going to look that way. Then I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. And so when we decide to affiliate ourselves totally with God and forsake the world and all of its components. That doesn't mean you don't use their cars. It doesn't mean you don't use their money. It doesn't mean you don't use their highways. It means you don't depend on that for your joy. You don't depend on that for your righteousness. You don't depend on that for your peace. You don't depend on the scoreboard for your great team. You depend on God. And whether we live or whether we die in faith. And when you go as far as you can and you die in the faith, you'll be raised up in the glory of what you were living for. Could we stand? Would you sing it?
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
Let's just open our heart to Him. Let's let the Word of God affect us.
To be
if you know it, sing it. I really wish several of you would just slip down to the front.
Life's journey.
There's nothing wrong with us doing some sacrificial stuff. Let the Spirit of God raise up something inside us called hope. Oh, that's it, sweetheart. Singing it in the Holy Ghost. If you're in your home and you can't join with us in the service, just at least cut loose from whatever's going on in your house. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. God's watching. The angels of God are watching. You're going to find new thought patterns because that's the way God works. Oh, hallelujah. If you know it, sing it with her. Way down deep in your heart.
To be like Jesus.
On earth alone. To be like Him. Don't just sing it. Make sure you want to really be that. She sings it one more time. If you're close to somebody that you would not feel awkward taking their hand or putting your hand on their shoulder, let's join our hearts together. just let the building vibrate with it. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I can't make it. I want to stay close. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Messiah. He's heard every heartbeat. He has seen every thought. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you may not be able to hug everybody, but you can smile them out. Thank you for being here. Our world is better because you came. There are people that are looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. They may never tell you that, but you offer hope.